information is free. There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
Yes, yes. But
tonight we care.
Here to border on
the law.
The country.
You will remember nine you have seen for a year.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not go on with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
The individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 142 of MediaMonarchy.com. It's September 25th, 2009. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, FoodWorldOrder.com, and CyberspaceWar.com. Your source for news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. We've got Whitey and Water on the Moon, the G20 crackdown, the Secret Service, irreversible catastrophe, 10 looming bankruptcies, swine flu updates, FEMA, Afghani surge, drones, goats, Z-Big, and the grand chessboard is all here at September 25th, 2009, MediaMonarchy.com.
A rat done bit my sister Nell with Whitey on the Moon. Her face and arms began to swell, and Whitey's on the Moon. I can't pay no doctor bills, but Whitey's on the Moon. 10 years from now, I'll be paying still while Whitey's on the Moon. You know, the man just upped my rent last night, because Whitey's on the Moon. No hot water, no toilets, no lights, but Whitey's on the Moon. I wonder why he's upping me, because Whitey's on the Moon. Well, I was already giving him 50 a week, and now Whitey's on the Moon. Taxes taking my whole damn check. The junkies make me a nervous wreck. The price of food is going up. And as if all that crap wasn't enough, a rat done bit my sister Nell with Whitey on the Moon. Her face and arms began to swell, and Whitey's on the Moon. With all that money I made last year for Whitey on the Moon, how come I ain't got no money here? Whitey's on the Moon. You know, I just about had my bill of Whitey on the Moon. I think I'll send these doctor bills. Air mail special. To Whitey on the Moon.
Going way back. Gil Scott Heron. Whitey on the Moon. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 142 of Media Monarchy. It's September 25th, 2009. Like I said, my name is James Evan Pilato, your host and webmaster of the sites and show. Coming to you live every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, and thanks to zeropointradio.com. Also blasting out on 92.3 in Casper, Wyoming. It's 11 a.m. Mountain Time there. The worldwide home of free speech, revereradio.net, blasting it out 1 p.m. Eastern Time, all live, all simulcast, and also thanks to my other list of affiliates, like Free Radio Olympia, 98.5 in Olympia, Washington, frolympia.org, rebroadcasting the show Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 93.9 BoulderFreeRadio.com, KBFR in Boulder, Colorado. and 87.9 Ground Zero Radio in Canton, Georgia, and 104.1 in Berkeley, California, BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net. And, of course, thanks to my man Glenn here in Portland and CascadiaPublicRadio.org. You can get in touch with me any number of ways. FaceSpace, TwitterTube, Yahoo, Gmail, Skype, IM, iTunes, RadioForAll.net, and Archive.org. Want to throw out a couple bit of thanks to my man Dave in the UK for sending me some CDs and a book. You may recall playing the Janet Street Preachers. That was one of Dave's bands. We played a track several months ago. So big thanks to him. And of course, I wholeheartedly encourage people sending me media. I believe I will probably set up a P.O. box here very soon. That'll be an easy way, and you guys can send me stuff. Also want to thank Karen in Ontario for getting in touch with me. She's been listening to the show for a while, but she wanted to chime in regards to my question I've posted recently about whether or not I should clean up the show in order to hopefully pick up some more affiliates that could play the show on FM and not worrying about effing the CC. Karen in Ontario says, don't change a thing. And I don't think I'm ready to change a thing. Nor do I think if I decided to, there would be any kind of grand announcement saying, from here on out, I won't say fuck. See, there you go. However, if someone wanted to take on the mission of making a clean edit every week, I certainly wouldn't dissuade that. And no, one last note in regards to clean or explicit. James Corbett of CorbettReport.com said, well, just got to think, what would Christian Slater do? That, of course, being a Pump Up the Volume reference. Ladies and gentlemen, like I said, it's episode 142 of Media Monarchy. It's now autumn, and this will be the last episode in September 2009 of MediaMonarchy.com as we're coming up on our third anniversary of the radio show, and we just passed the fourth anniversary of the website, MediaMonarchy.com. However, we're going to kick it off, leading off from Whitey on the Moon. There's also water on the moon. Scientists confirm water on the moon. This is up on cyberspacewar.com by way of the Register out of the UK. Analysis of the lunar surface by three different spacecrafts have provided quote-unquote unambiguous evidence of water on the moon.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Ever since man first landed on the moon, one big question has been, could man live on the moon? It appears a giant step has been taken in finding out an answer. Three different space probes have found molecules of water just under the lunar surface. India's first moon probe was one of those to make the discovery. G. Madhavan Nair chairs the country's space research organization.
To conclude that there is water, a lot of analysis has to be done. Our mineralogical mapper and the terrain mapping instrument and the synthetic aperture radar, all these instruments have collected data. The analysis is progressing.
It's an exciting discovery, and those with vivid imaginations may already be thinking about settlements on the moon and saving up for the airfares to get there. But it's fair to say we're far from seeing a Centre Parks or Butlins springing up. Although excited by the discovery, experts are trying to stay grounded. Dr. Katie Joy is a lunar scientist.
Chandrayaan is their first mission to the moon, in fact their first planetary science mission. And they're hoping to follow up by a series of missions, landing missions. In 2012, Chandrayaan 2 is supposed to reputedly to send a rover or a lander to the surface. And then hopefully this should inspire a renewed interest in lunar exploration from India, China, Japan and so on and so forth.
This water on the moon found is not lakes, oceans or even puddles, but there is a lot of the moon yet to be investigated, which may be wetter. Scientists say that could be the case closer to the poles. One thing that can be certain is that the idea that the moon is dry has now been disproved. NASA may uncover more hidden secrets when it crashes a satellite onto the moon next month.
Which would, of course, be their blow-up the moon mission. You may have heard about it. We, of course, covered it on the show. I've even seen some people out pamphleting and doing table work. Don'tblowupthemoon.com, I believe, was a website. Now, there's more in that article and links that I put in that you can just go to Wikipedia and NASA and learn more about all that kind of stuff. The related interesting update, however, from the Associated Press, spacecraft spies frozen water in Martian craters. So there's moon on, or rather there's water on the moon and water on Mars. But like Bill Hicks said, back here on Earth, we're still trying to figure out this whole food air thing. The last posting that we're going to hit on cyberspacewar.com, I believe, asking the musical question, who wants to work at Cybercom? That's right, where you too can help fight the net like it's an enemy weapon system and engage the public in psychological warfare designed to manipulate public opinion. We have an actual job posting, HITN job spot. It's like healthcareitnews.com. If you want to do interesting and challenging work to make a contribution to national defense, DISA is a great place for you. That is the Defense Information Systems Agency. DISA provides secure and reliable communications and computing support that enable the president and our military forces to communicate globally through voice, video, and data transmission. DISA is a leader within the federal government in implementing people programs and offers a broad range of quality of life and training programs. For more information, go to DISA.mil. However, I don't recommend you go there. But just as we saw a couple of months ago, actual job postings for internment specialists that they're going to need when they decide to move the prawns, if you will. I recommend you read more about fighting the net like it's an enemy weapons system, because those are the quotes from the Information Operations Roadmap. That's what the military has said, and that's what they're going to do. So who wants to work at Cybercom? Not me. Now, before we get back to the main site, MediaMonarchy.com, we're going to hit one posting on FoodWorldOrder.com. And again, I've had to set up different sites because everything is seemingly spiraling out of control and it needs its own website to just go over the food attacks and the cyber attacks. By way of the Washington Post, and this was posted up last Saturday, Secret Service locks down D.C. so that Michelle can shop organic. Let's say you're preparing dinner and you realize with dismay that you don't have any certified organic Tuscan kale. What to do? Here's how Michelle Obama handled that very predicament Thursday afternoon. So that would have been Thursday, September something. The Secret Service and the D.C. police brought in 36 vehicles and shut down 8th Street, Vermont Avenue, two lanes of I Street, and the entrance to the McPherson Square Metro Station. They swept the area in front of the Department of Veteran Affairs, where all those crazy vets are. They used bomb-sniffing dogs and installed magnetometers in the middle of the street, put up barricades to keep pedestrians out, and took positions with binoculars atop trucks. Though the produce stand was only a block or so from the White House, the First Lady hopped into her armored limousine and pulled into the market amidst the wails of sirens. Then, and only then, could Michelle Obama purchase her leafy greens. Now it's time to buy some food, as she told several hundred people who came to watch. Let's shop. K cowbells were rung. Somebody put a lei of marigolds around Michelle's neck. The First Lady picked up a straw basket and headed for the farm at Sunnyside Tent, where she loaded up with organic Asian pears, cherry tomatoes, multicolored potatoes, free-range eggs, and yes, two bunches of certified organic Tuscan kale. She left the produce with an aide who paid the cashier as Michelle made her way back to the limousine. Gosh, there's nothing like the simple pleasures of a farm stand to return us to our agrarian roots, particularly when it involves a soundstage, an interpreter for the deaf, three TV satellite trucks, and closing part of downtown Washington, D.C. Carbon footprint that. So now we return to MediaMonarchy.com. Although I suppose we should glance, as we typically do, at the front page of Google News to see what's happening on this morning, September 25th, 2009. Western leaders warn Iran over nuclear site, and we're going to get to that, some supposed secret nuclear site. Oh my God, I'm afraid they have a nuclear site because they hate us for our freedoms and all that garbage. And of course, the G20 leaders declare their summit in Pittsburgh a huge success, where they deployed sound wave weapons and gas against protesters. But more on all that in just a little bit. However, Obamasiah, indefinite detentions and irreversible catastrophe. It's an ugly list of headlines. The first from Canada Free Press: the day a president became king of the world. Pittsburgh, PA, became the window of the new world when Obama completed the circle by stepping out from the dark shadows where he's been lurking since January 20th onto the world stage. It's where he met his destiny as king of the world. UK frantic over Obama talks, supposedly Barack disses Brown. That's by way of the BBC, and I think there's even an interview now where they've tried to downplay that they were frantic over whether or not there was some sort of dissing going on. However, more importantly, and this is one of the key things, is don't listen to what they say. Look at what they do. Obama will bypass Congress to detain suspects indefinitely. Obama quietly decided to bypass Congress and allow the indefinite detention of terrorist suspects without charge. The move, which was controversial when the idea was first floated in the Washington Post in May, has now sparked serious concern among civil liberties advocates. Such a decision allows the press to unilaterally hold combatants without habeas corpus, a legal term literally meaning you shall have the body, which forces prosecutors to charge a suspect with a crime to justify the suspect's detention. Obama's decision was buried on page A23 of the New York Times on Thursday. It didn't appear in the national edition because the front page had to be richest Russian's newest toy, an NBA team. That's some change, baby. Detain suspects indefinitely. And if you don't think that could mean you got another thing coming. So Obama addressed the big UN climate summit and warned of irreversible catastrophe. I can think of a lot of irreversible catastrophes, but paying a carbon tax to international banksters so that they can pay their carbon indulgences and be able to pollute as much as they want because they can pay it off. However, you're bad and it's your fault and you're dirty because you do whatever you do, whether it's kids or cars, and I'm no fan of either of those things, but again, if you really believe in anthropogenic, man-made climate change, you should be anti-war, because that whole thing runs on the terror juice. Obama sets stage for new world order. This from USA Today, and again, remember back in the day, New World Order, that was just a crazy thing that Kook said when they were talking about, you know, things that don't exist, like black helicopters, even though we've documented it on the show, flying over Portland and Denver and New Orleans. Or the Council on Foreign Relations, or the Trilateral Commission, or the Bilderberg Group, all those crazy things that don't really exist, except we've completely documented that they do. The New World Order. So now it exists, and it's a good thing. But if you don't like it, you're crazy, and it still doesn't exist. Obama pitched his health scare on the Sunday talk show Blitz. That's from the LA Times. But from the Times Online, the London Times, unleashing a race war on President Barack Obama. We have touched on this before. And I recently heard someone reference it, and I've used it before. And it's from, I believe, a Twilight Zone episode. It could be The Outer Limits, but it's the monsters are due on Mulberry Street. And that's essentially where the power goes out. And all the neighbors and everybody start to pick each other apart. And I think you're an alien, and I think you're shady, or you're an agent. How about that? And we all destroy each other. And at the end of the episode, they pan back and show the two actual aliens on the hillside saying, see, that's all you got to do is just turn off some of their toys and they'll destroy each other. So until we get a major cyber attack or an EMP or a punch in the Facebook, and turn our toys off. They can also throw us all the little football issues. And not to say that race relations or abortion or gay rights aren't important, but it's those issues that ultimately the elites themselves couldn't care less about. They're happier when we're destroying each other. That makes the work easier for them. So remember that. Anytime you're hating on somebody or robbing and stealing your fellow man, the man sleeps better. On a good note, Obama refuses to stop torture investigations. That's from the Deutsche Press Agency. And a swirl of stories around state secrets. From the Washington Post, Obama to set higher bar for keeping state secrets. So that's a good thing. And again, that's how all these things come out. That sounds like a good thing. He's not going to stop the torture investigations. That sounds like a good thing. He's going to set a higher bar for being able to claim state secrets on national security. However, in some certain cases, Obama still stands behind the state secrets. So if we jump to threat level, Dateline San Francisco, hours after the DOJ announced it would limit its use of the state secrets privilege in new cases, the Obama administration appeared before a federal judge and continued to invoke that defense in a closely watched spy case. The litigation at issue, now 5 years old, tests whether a sitting president may bypass Congress and adopt a warrantless surveillance program, as President Bush did in the wake of 9/11. Change. And a follow-up again from threat level, Obama issues limits on state secrets. However, a story that shouldn't surprise you at all by way of Reuters, Obama fundraiser in $2 million fraud. Hassan Memazi, M-E-M-A-Z-E-E, defrauded Bank of America, HSBC, and Citigroup. And he was, of course, a fundraiser for Obama, Hillary, and other Democrats. He's connected to a private equity firm and an Iranian-American Political Action Committee board member on one count of defrauding Citigroup's Citibank. Banksters and gangsters, the whole lot of them. So those are your latest Obama Saya updates, indefinite detentions, and irreversible catastrophe. So speaking of money and speaking of fraud, it's the latest Econo Crash headlines. 10 looming bankruptcies plus a little FDIC and unemployment, but first from Business Insider. 10 big companies teetering towards bankruptcy. A new report by Audit Integrity identifies some high-profile names that have the highest probability of declaring bankruptcy among publicly traded firms. I don't know if these are in order of danger or not, but number one is Hertz Rent-A-Car. When you have tons of debts financing your fleet of cars, failing and falling rental demand really hurts. Number two, Textron. What a rough time to be a selling business jets. To be selling business jets, rather. Number three, however, Sprint. They're bleeding customers and could lose as many as 4.4 million net postpaid subscribers this year alone. 4.5 million. Macy's. Does anybody even shop at department stores anymore? Mylan. That's M-Y-L-A-N. In a classic case of management empire building, Mylan overpaid big time when it bought Merck's generic business back in 07 and is now stuck with $5 billion of long-term debt as a result. Goodyear. Demand for Goodyear tires has sunk, or gone flat, but don't bump, and the company is saddled with massive debt and pension obligations. CBS. Weak advertising and falling license fees have sent CBS's earnings off a cliff in 09. Advanced Micro Devices. When will AMD actually make money again? The question is becoming more important by the day since it carries over $5 billion in long-term debt. Las Vegas Sands. Overexpanded, overlevered in the last few years, and now has $10 billion worth of debt to deal with. And the number 10 on the list of big businesses teetering toward bankruptcy, Interpublic Group, one of the largest advertising and marketing companies in the world. IPG was slammed by the global recession. So that's a list of half places I've heard of and others that I have not. However, I don't think we would shed a tear for the loss of advertising and marketing companies. Again, it's always good to quote Bill Hicks, just kill yourself. In other econo crash news, FDIC to consider ways to replenish their deposit fund. U.S. bank regulators are considering tapping a line of credit with the U.S. Treasury Department and may explore other lesser-known options to replenish the dwindling fund that safeguards bank deposits. And why do they need to replenish their deposit fund? Because they're about to go bust. Because so far, and this is by last Friday, we always are a week behind on what we refer to as FDIC Friday. That's when the feds have been rolling in every week this year and shutting down banks. Last Friday, on the 18th, regulators seized two banks, one in Kentucky and one in Ohio, bringing the record failures to 94 for this year and counting. So we'll hit triple digit here pretty soon. California and Nevada reach record unemployment levels. That's from Bloomberg, as well as more from the World Socialist website, WSWS.org. Unemployment in California reaches 70-year high. ZeroHedge.com has an interesting article about Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan gobbling up media outlets. Now, it's a lot longer and a lot more involved than I can break down right here, but essentially, JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs are among radio stations' leading lenders. So we got JP Morgan Chase, General Electric, radio stations, Goldman Sachs, ION Media Networks, Black Diamond, Canyon, Trilogy, the FCC, they're all in bed together. So what do you think is going to start to come out of those media outlets? Well, it's probably going to be more about what we're going to hit right now. First from thenational.ae out of the Arab Emirates, new world currency order starts to unfold. And from this morning, by way of Reuters, new world economic order takes shape at G20. Again, throwing it in our face, it's a new world order, which of course isn't new at all. And there's very little order to it. Because they're really into the chaos thing right now. And that's how they get their order. Which brings us to the disgustingly long list of headlines on the Police State International. The G20 crackdown and occupying us. Or occupying the U.S. Military attacks U.S. citizens with sound weapons and tear gas at the G20 meeting. This from Paul Joseph Watson. And we also have Reuters updates and many other things in this article. National Guard, police, and other military units attacked American citizens with tear gas and deployed sound cannons in response to an unpermitted protest as bedlam hit the streets on the first day of the G20 in downtown Pittsburgh. There are a ton of videos coming out. I've collected up half a dozen of them. We are going to only listen to a few minutes by way of our good friends at CNN for a little Orwellian militarized police state at the G20 in Pittsburgh.
This is CNN breaking news.
All right, Brian Todd, our correspondent on the scene in Pittsburgh right now for the G20 summit. He's been covering the protesters, some of them anarchists. There are tons of police security authorities on the scene right now. This is what happened just moments ago to Brian as he was covering these demonstrations, these protests. We want to inform you that this videotape is unedited. It's raw. Watch this.
Well, the protest has shifted over several streets in Pittsburgh. The protest is going way off their plan. The police have thrown some kind of tear gas or some kind of smoke bomb over there. They've got set up a barricade over here. This is what's been happening today on the street. The protesters have shifted
by order to the city of Pittsburgh.
We don't know exactly where they're going to be.
I order all the If you remain in this immediate vicinity, you will be in violation of Pennsylvania Crimes Code.
Okay.
Code. No matter what your purpose is, you must leave. If you do not disperse, you may be arrested and or subject to other police action. Other police action may include actual physical removal, the use of riot control agents, and or less lethal munitions, which could cause risk of injury to those who remain.
Esta
asamblea ha sido declarada. By order of the City of Pittsburgh Chief Police, I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly. I order all those assembled to immediately disperse. You must leave the immediate vicinity. If you remain in this immediate vicinity, you will be...
Fuck it. Stuart, come on.
G20 protesters in Pittsburgh hit with OC vapor and smoke. Anyone caught outside the gates of their subdivision sector after curfew will be shot. The Post-Gazette out of Pittsburgh has an interesting article on the security nerve center established at a secret spot to deal with the G20. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, the G20's top security officials unveiled their communications hub for the summit, a windowless room of 100 computers that links to electronic eyes and ears all over the Pittsburgh region. The Secret Service, overseeing security plans, asked their reporters not reveal the location of the multi-agency communication centers, or the MAC, only describing it as a spot outside of downtown Pittsburgh, but still within city limits. Who's inside? The FBI, the National Guard, the Coast Guard, State Police, Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency, Allegheny County Police, Allegheny County Sheriff's Office, and Pittsburgh Police. However, that's not all. New York Governor announced that New York National Guard were going to be sent in support for the G20 meeting. And if we go to LDNews.com, the Lebanon Daily News out of Lebanon, PA, more than 2,500 Pennsylvania National Guardsmen, including several from Lebanon County, are in Pittsburgh for the G20 summit. The last note concerning G20, and again, it's suspiciously not on the front of newspapers right now. From pittnews.com, a grassroots coalition concerned with world economic issues hosted a 2009 Freedom Conference at Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hall. We're coming out here. We are coming here out of fear of big government, said organizer Michael McMullen. We are a broad-based coalition of conservative groups seeking alternatives to the G20. McMullen said close to 450 tickets were sold for the event, but there were fewer than 100 people in attendance. Keynote speaker G. Edward Griffin compared the U.S. government to a genie granting the wishes of the American people. G. Edward Griffin, of course, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island. Oh, they even cover it. Griffin wrote a book about the foundation and corruption of the Federal Reserve System. In his talk, he cited the Federal Reserve as the source of the economic crisis, an accusation which featured speaker Tom Woods supported. Tom Woods has also done some speaking engagements with Ron Paul involved with Campaign for Liberty. So we have the G20, and we have the massive police state crackdown. And I can't help but wonder sometimes if this sort of protest paradigm is a dead paradigm. Discuss. Now, a march, just a peaceful march of solidarity, that's one thing, and it feels amazing. But protests that get infiltrated by people who won't show their faces, and we find out sometimes that they've been shepherded and funded, meant to go in, cause trouble, create a ruckus, recede into the crowd, thereby justifying the police state crackdown. If you really want to dig into it, and you know the legendary story of the Battle of Seattle, Delta Force paid off anarchists, trained them how to do it. Agent provocateurs. Why would you even put yourself into that situation? It's the same thing sometimes when you see, oh, the neo-Nazis are going to do a protest. Your gut reaction is, oh, let's go yell at those Nazis. Let's not have any of that. Then we find out, like we have in places like Florida and other places, that neo-Nazi groups are actually run by the cops or by the FBI. Just Google some variation of that neo-Nazi group run by the feds. It's fake. That's another false flag attack. So whether it's agent provocateurs, that's a false flag attack. Acting like you're someone other than you are to pull off an attack so you can blame your target, your real target. But I digress. So we have the G20 and all that going on. We hit some of the UN garbage going on. We'll have a little bit more. We'll have an interesting note from the UN General Assembly a few days ago. One of my latest videos up on YouTube that now actually has thousands of views in just a couple of days. But we'll get to that quite a bit later. We also have all the latest terror probes and busts that were supposed to be on, oh God, it was going to be on par with 9/11. Now, if you can show me any kind of case post 9/11, some big massive bust, whether it's the garbage about the liquid bombers or the shoe bombers or any of that crap, what cases haven't involved some kind of informant who was paying the group, who was supplying them with things, planting ideas, videotaping them, saying stupid things that they're going to blow up, or we're going to attack a whole army base, the Fort Dix 6. Remember that one? These are all garbage. They keep trying to wave the bloody shirt and scare you of the boogeyman. Just like we have the announcement of this secret nuclear plant in Iran. Does that scare you for a second? even if it was real, even if they were trying to make a nuclear bomb and they were working on it really hard, they're still not half as scary as the Western elites. The financial oligarchs. The military, media, industrial complex. Terror probe puts U.S. mass transit systems on alert. That's from the Washington Post. Terror probe widens in U.S. from the L.A. Times. However, from Raw Story, they pointed it out quite well. Media hypes the terror plot, despite no one at the time actually having been charged with any kind of terror. But that did change, and all they've charged some people, and they were brown. Boogie boogie. But by way of WCBSTV.com, FBI terror alert. Police warned to patrol hotels, stadiums, and subways.
The effect the unraveling of the terror plot has had on those who use mass transit. Grand Central Terminal and Penn Station were possible targets. CBS2's Deborah Garcia spoke to riders about feeling safe underground.
Police are not the only ones on alert. Commuters are also looking out for anything suspicious, but they aren't letting fear keep them from traveling. The message is loud and clear. If you see something suspicious, tell one of the many security officers you see walking around Penn Station. There and at Grand Central Terminal, New York National Guardsmen, some armed with M16s, kept a close watch on those getting onto and off of trains, while canines with Amtrak police sniffed for trouble.
They're always here, always, always, and they're very intense. So security seems really good here.
Norby Calder owns a pizza place in Penn Station and has noticed additional security in the past few days.
I see a lot more security, more like they're stopping people at both sides of the end of the station, they're checking bags, they're doing everything.
Since this recent terror threat was uncovered, places of mass transit have beefed up security. But the news that one of the alleged terrorists had cell phone video of Grand Central Terminal has some commuters nervous.
Oh my God, cell phone video. Well, we just better give up all our rights and have the military patrolling our streets. And this is the boiling frog analogy. Slowly turning up the heat, we're becoming more acclimated to seeing the military performing law enforcement duties on our streets. And they do that for PR. They'll do the DUI checkpoints and that kind of crap. But it's normalizing it. It's desensitizing you to seeing the military, which again goes against what was called posse comitatus. The military wasn't supposed to do law enforcement. But then, of course, we had the day that everything changed. And if the terrorists hit us because they hate our freedoms, it is an accurate statement. If you know who the terrorists are. U.S. indicts Denver man in bombing conspiracy. That's from the L.A. Times. And isn't it interesting that these big busts always seem to come out of the New World Order enclaves like Denver, which we've went over extensively, and their New World Airport, and their possible underground bases, and all the symbology and military occult connections. NYC terror plot suspect charged with conspiracy to detonate bombs. Afghan immigrant charged with conspiracy to use weapons of mass destruction. That's from the Washington Post. And in an unrelated story to the Denver and New York bus tying in with the mass transit paranoia, an Illinois man now has been charged in a plot to bomb federal offices this late last night. An Illinois man was ordered held on Thursday on charges he tried to blow up a federal building in the state capitol, a case unrelated to the New York terrorism plot. Michael Fenton, F-I-N-T-O-N, also known as Talib Islam, was arrested in Springfield, Illinois, and charged with attempted murder of federal officers or employees and trying to use a weapon of mass destruction, charges that carry a life sentence. At the halfway mark in this Police State International posting, we'd like to note essentially what we were just mentioning, that U.S. troops are now occupying America. Paul Joseph Watson breaks it down in a way that I just now could. Under the pretext of helping local communities, short of police, in difficult economic times, as well as preparations for a potential swine flu pandemic, U.S. troops are now occupying America as the country sinks into a state of de facto martial law. Again, it won't be stormtroopers marching down the street. We declare martial law. It'll be the slow, incremental frog boil. We've been inundated with reports over the last few weeks of uniformed and uninformed soldiers and National Guardsmen running internal checkpoints all over the country as a frightening sort of Red Dawn scenario unfolds, not with a bang, but with a whimper. The military are now being called upon to undertake roles normally designed to police, as Americans are incrementally acclimated to accept the presence of troops on the streets as an everyday occurrence. There's a video of a case recently in Kingman, Arizona, where National Guardsmen were filmed providing security and directing traffic. There's a YouTube video for that. Another similar example occurred in Newport, Kentucky earlier this month when military checkpoints suddenly appeared downtown on September 6th. Military police from the U.S. Army National, I believe that is probably National Guard, as well as Marines were purportedly conducting traffic control because the city was strapped for funds and didn't have enough police to do the job. Because again, we're all such babies and idiots, we don't even know how to drive and we have to have the military help direct traffic for us. The excuse that troops are stepping in to help because there's a lack of police doesn't wash. Crime is down over the last 20 years. Fact. But there's around three times more police, and the state isn't calling out the National Guard. They're being put on the streets as a result of the harmonization of police and military, a process that has been ongoing for decades, long before the engineered new financial world order recession hit. Troops also have guns, and their primary function is to search people and vehicles, not direct stupid traffic. Members of We Are Change Ohio interviewed some of the troops when asked if they would be prepared to confiscate guns, shoot resistors in the back of the head, or throw people into ovens to incinerate bodies. They refused to categorically deny that they would follow such orders. That's another clip from We Are Change Ohio. However, this was by no means the first time that troops have been used to fulfill roles normally ascribed to police in Kentucky. We went over earlier in the year, May 2nd to be precise, the military at the Kentucky Derby. We also have all the troops coming back to help NORTHCOM occupy the United States. Army was dispatched to patrol the streets of Sampson, Alabama after a murder spree. That was in March. We've got the MIAC reports of homegrown errorism and on and on and on. The list and the links and the videos and the documentation goes on that U.S. troops are now occupying the United States. There. Missouri State Representative Dixon opposes closing MIAC. That is the Missouri Information Analysis Center or some such police state garbage. They, of course, put out the controversial report earlier in the year, falling in line with the ADL and SPLC, all about hate speech and homegrown errorism and white Al-Qaeda and right-wing extremism. But let's put it into perspective. Thankfully, by way of Huffington Post, who, of course, even though their foundation-funded elite namesake says that she despises 9/11 truthers and all that kind of left gatekeeping garbage, only 3 out of 763 Patriot Act sneak and peek requests in fiscal year 2008 involved terror. So, again, as we've been telling you for many, many years now, they set all this up and say, oh, well, we're only listening to the terrorist phone calls. Oh, the Patriot Act isn't for you. It's all for you. The long-range acoustical devices, as you heard in that CNN clip a few minutes ago from Pittsburgh G20, those were used in Iraq. Now they're using them in Pittsburgh. They used them last week at a town hall in San Diego. It's meant for you. You ain't part of the club, as Carlin said. An interesting story from Cryptagon going into something called the American Police Force. Again, a part of the prison industrial complex. We mentioned last week or the week before one of the upcoming drills. This one's called Panamax 2009, and this is by way of Navy.mil, Pandemic Outbreak Exercise, Panamax 2009. Fort Knox tests their metal during a mock attack. That's from the newsenterprise.com. Military to conduct air assault training into Troy, Tennessee. That's from ClarksvilleOnline.com. Marines in Kentucky doing urban exercises in advance of their own deployment to the whatever meat grinder Afghanistan surge those poor bastards are going to. Newly declassified files detail massive FBI data mining project. That is from Threat Level. UK billboards equipped with license plate spy cameras. That's from thetruthaboutcars.com. A law shielding cops faces a court challenge. Again from Threat Level. And a funny note, spy cam catches the cops playing with a Wii during their drug raid.
In March, Pope drug investigators raided the Perkle Road home of 43-year-old Michael DeFalco near Lakeland. DeFalco has an extensive arrest record. He's done time in state prison for trafficking drugs. On this day, members of a multi-department task force claim they discovered drugs, weapons, and stolen property. A security camera they missed showed detectives also discovered a fun video game play, Wii Bowling. And over the course of the next 9 hours, game on. And here we go. Who's the man? That's right. Now he sets up for the spare. Ooh! This detective bowled frame after frame after frame. Practice makes perfect. And while another female detective lit to the couch looking for drugs, this guy focused on pin action. Now you might be under the impression police work can get pretty exciting. Well, it can. Pope Sheriff Grady Judd calls the display embarrassing.
Now, that's a silly little video about something that's serious. And again, it reminds me of a conversation I was having last night and talking about the dead paradigm of protesting. Isn't that the cops and the protesters are some kind of symbiotic relationship that they both need each other? It's this sort of like tribal gang kind of mentality. Again, that doesn't ultimately solve anything. Do you think the Bilderberg Group and the Club of Rome, and the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Rockefellers, and the Rothschilds, and the Banksters International. You think they give a flying fuck if you throw a brick through a Starbucks window? Glancing at Google News again, we see, breaking 32 minutes ago from the Associated Press, NYC terror attack was apparently set for 9/11. Of course, Dateline Denver, an Afghan immigrant wanted to carry out a massive New York City terror attack involving hydrogen peroxide bombs on commuter trains to coincide with the 8th anniversary of the day that changed everything. The day that our multi-trillion dollar defense systems all failed. The day that the laws of physics somehow failed. Somehow Bin Laden covered up the crime scene, appointed a cover-up commission, got Christine Todd Whitman to tell people that the air was safe to breathe. It was amazing. But I digress. Again. The last couple notes here on the Police State International, the G20 crackdown, and occupying us. FBI looking for an anti-government perp in the death of a census worker.
Investigators are now saying that a U.S. census worker found hanged from a tree near Kentucky Cemetery had the word Fed scrawled on his chest. 51-year-old Bill Sparkman was a part-time census field worker and teacher. He was found September 12th in a remote patch of the Daniel Boone National Forest. The FBI is now investigating whether Sparkman was a victim of anti-government sentiment.
Specific details of the investigation are not being released at this time because it is an ongoing investigation.
Investigators have only told census workers that Sparkman appears to be the victim of an apparent homicide. Sparkman worked for the Census Bureau since 2003. Much of his recent work had been in Clay County. The Census Bureau has suspended door-to-door interviews in rural Clay County pending the outcome of the criminal investigation. Mike Brossia, The Associated Press.
If we move to threat level, online conspiracy theorists latch on to census GPS units. The hanging death of a Kentucky census worker is likely to raise tensions among counters in the 2010 census who have already been the focus of emotionally charged online rhetoric this year because they use GPS. Internet conspiracy theories have grown in recent months over the fact that census workers are now equipped with GPS-enabled handheld computers that let them collect the geolocation of street addresses as they perform pre-census canvassing. It's an improvement on the paper maps the census has historically used for the same purpose. Quote, the exact geographic location of each housing unit is critical to ensure that when we publish the census results for the entire country, broken down by various geographic areas ranging from states, counties, and cities to census blocks, we accurately represent the data for the area in question, so says the Census Bureau on census.gov. But that explanation doesn't wash with everyone. A post on the widely read Infowars.com in June warned, quote, I will tell you plainly, the New World Order-controlled American military wants these global positioning system markers so they can launch Predator drone missile attacks, the aptly named Hellfire missiles, I might add, against a long list of undesirables here in CONUS, continental United States. Now, they, of course, point out the more ridiculous posting. And again, that's a comment on an article. They don't quote the article. They quote a goofball comment that says they're doing it so they can hit you with drones. Misdirection, straw man argument. You put up a phony, fake argument, and it's easy to knock down, and you say, see, that's their argument, and it's easy to beat. The last I'll say about any of that is that I believe essentially the law says all you have to tell them, by law, is how many people live in your place. The last note comes from KSL.com. We have a couple different videos, no clips for you. I just saw this earlier this morning. A Utah representative refused a TSA shakedown. Chaffetz, out of Utah, out of Salt Lake City, Chaffetz, Utah's freshman congressman, yesterday defended a run-in with security at Salt Lake International Airport. Republican Congressman Jason Chaffetz admitted he got frustrated and even used an obscenity, but he thinks airport security was out of line, not him. God, what are you, anti-American? You don't like to be x-rayed, naked, and put up on display? Even though you're a congressman? So that's the end of the Police State International posting, and I'm sure we will see much more disturbing things coming out of Pittsburgh in the G20 meeting, the Group of 20. But we're going to shift gears into the bio wars and swine flu updates. But before we do that, I may as well tell you right now that you're listening to episode 142 of MediaMonarchy.com. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the sites and show MediaMonarchy.com, FoodWorldOrder.com, and CyberspaceWar.com.